This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres Live rolling on here on a Thursday. That means hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN is with us. Dregs, we just capped the last segment with some, you know, quick anecdotes and heartbreak, obviously, with the week that it's been. Can you just share something real quick on Ray Shiro and Greg Millen for us?
Well, if I start with Ray, you know, I covered so many NHL general managers meetings over the years, right? And he was always one of the favorite at any time of the day. I'm one of the early risers among the media group. So let's say the breakfast and the meetings get going at 8 o'clock in the morning. Some of those guys are, you know, straggling in, you know, it's 7:30 early to get their car. I'm always in that hotel lobby because that's where you get the good stuff. You know, Ray Shiro would come through. Ray, what do you think you're going to talk about today? Ooh, there's some good. You know, like he wasn't a snitch, but he also wasn't afraid of the media, right? Mm-hmm. And then after hours, you'd see him. And, you know, he was just a social butterfly. He'd go from one gaggle of managers over to the media. And, you know, he always seemed to have a good time with life. But then when you had hockey conversations, meaningful conversations, this is my takeaway and one of the things that I admire most of Ray Shiro. Back in the day, he wasn't afraid to try and move the needle. You remember years ago when there was a push to do more about fighting, try and eliminate fighting. Like, it's penalized, but, you know, let's attach a game misconduct or something to it. And, you know, so many people would push back. Well, we can't do that. It'll destroy the integrity of the game. And Ray was consistent. And he had done the research in brain injuries and the traumas and everything that had gone into it and wasn't afraid to put his face, his name, and his voice to be contrary to the old boys club of the National Hockey League. So, man, I'm going to miss those conversations with him because they were filled with fun, but there was also something to be learned every time you spoke to Ray. Millsy, similar. I mean, I cut my teeth in network TV with Greg Millen. I did. And, you know, we'll laugh about this again one day, I hope. But the first year we had the national package. So myself hosting with Greg Millen, Nick Kiprios was on that original national package panel. We were terrible. We were terrible. We just were. We were the new kids on the block, and Millsy had some experience, and it just bugged him because we weren't up to the standard. Let's just say that. So I think that there was an actual push from Millsy's perspective to get both Nick and I fired that first year. But look, I mean, here's a guy that came from a polished broadcast over to our side. You know, he's got this experience and all of that, and he just couldn't believe what is now the norm, right? Yep. Like, I mean, it is now the norm to have guys like Bill Waters and Nick Kiprios yelling at each other. Scotty Morrison effectively was the insider and all of that. And it was just, it was before its time. But then I got to travel closely with Millsy, you know, in covering and doing Ottawa Senators games. Man, I learned a lot from him. And guys, you've heard this, but his stories were always terrific and always ended in a chuckle. But he was also a polished broadcaster and highly respected player. So we lost two guys far too young, no doubt about that.
Did Millsy ever get you with the holes in the coffee cup? Because that was his thing, right? On the press box. He would poke holes at the bottom of the coffee cups. Somebody would come in, pour coffee, and it could be like spilling all over.
Well, he didn't get me with that one. But, you know, from goaltender to goaltender, you remember back in the day, you know, especially in Montreal when he'd visit, because the Shen Chou were so delicious, you know, as a backup goalie, he'd keep two of them. Like he'd have one in his glove and one in his blocker. And, you know, when you're sitting away, not every bench in the National Hockey League back in that day had room for the backup goaltender, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd have to sit somewhere else. And every once in a while, he'd get caught like sneaking a bite of his hot dog from his glove or his blocker. So Ray Ferraro on our broadcast. So he's part of an old Whalers group chat. Can you imagine what these guys talk about? Kevin Dineen, Dean Evason is in that group chat. I think Ronnie Francis, Joel Quenneville, Ray, obviously. And some of the stuff that they've shared about Greg Millen this week amongst that group is just, I mean, you could write a book about it, but, you know, the good ones always leave far too soon.
Yeah, far too soon. Millsy was 67, Ray was 62. Yeah. That's not even close to being able to enjoy everything. And so for their family, that's and their friends, that's going to be hard. I mentioned Ray Shiro and his dad, Fred Shiro, coached the Flyers. The Flyers spanked the Rangers last night, 8-5. Ooh. And man, is it not good in Rangers, like, you know, town right now in New York. So do you think, like, you know, the season ends next Thursday. Yeah. Friday morning, there's a press conference, and Peter Laviolette is looking for a job, or is it higher than that? Like that's, something's going to happen.
Agreed. That's what I was going to say. Something is going to happen. That's a fair and an easy prediction to make, that there's imminent change. What we don't know is how deep the knife is going to cut. And of course, it's easy to fire Lavi. Just dispatch Peter Laviolette. That's fine. Who are you replacing him with, right? And there's going to be speculation, and there has been, you know, of the possibility of Torts coming back to the New York Rangers. You know, what if Mike Sullivan gets let go by the Pittsburgh Penguins? I mean, could he be a fit? I mean, go down the list. And I'm okay with all of that. Speculate as you want. But is it really a coaching problem? Was it a coaching problem in New York this year? And no one can convince me that that was the case. They just can't. Now, then you look at maybe some overreactions, right? And it dates back to early in the year, how the Trouba situation was handled. You know, Chris Kreider's name being legitimately out there, put out there by Chris Drury, the general manager. And then go down the list from there. I mean, it felt like there was just a series of overreactions in New York. And to a point, I can appreciate what Drury was trying to do. It's his job to make things better. And he was trying to make things better. I get that. But now on top of that, as you guys know, you've got a real hands-on, volatile owner in Dolan.
Yeah.
Hands on, man. So that's where, you know, I come back to where we started on this. How can you predict what level of change is going to be made here? It's easy to start with the coach. That can't be the end of it. And then if you're looking at going after the roster, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mika Zibanejad has a full no move for the rest of his contract. He doesn't want to leave New York. He's not going anywhere. So it may not be as easy as Rangers fans think to flip this team from what they were, a top contender, to now a non-playoff team. You know, how quickly can they get back into contention as early as next year?
Yeah, Mika does have a full no move. So does Artemi Panarin with 1 year left. JT Miller with many years left. And Vincent Trocheck next year. It's a full no move now, but next year it's a 12-team no trade. So you kind of are a little bit handcuffed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A little bit.
And the a reason that the Rangers, tonight's Buffalo opponent, Columbus, the Sabres themselves, Islanders, Red Wings, go through the list, aren't going to make it is because Montreal turned it on again down the stretch to separate and put themselves in the position to next have an X beside their name. And they're adding what in Demidov before they head to the playoffs? Yeah. What do you think, Dregs?
Well, I like it. You know, I mean, anytime you get these young, super talented top prospects coming over, especially as difficult as it can be historically to come out of Russia, I think there's a high level of intrigue. You know, one thing I've been reminded of by Ken Hughes, the GM of the Montreal.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All Canadians, and I think it's just to try and deliver a message out there. It is the best league in the world, and the postseason, the Stanley Cup playoffs, is the toughest venue to win on. So they don't want to overwhelm this kid. Is he going to get an opportunity? Of course he's going to get an opportunity, but I think that they're trying to manage the expectation. But my understanding of Demidov is he's got a high level of confidence and there is some swagger there. There's no doubt about that. I'm curious where he's going to make his debut. I think the best plan, the hope, was that he could join the Montreal Canadiens as early as maybe late Friday night in Toronto. Doubt very much that he'd be in the lineup versus the Leafs on Saturday, but could play as early as Monday unless something changes against the Chicago Blackhawks. So another added boost. You know, let's see as a 19-year-old whether or not he can provide an impact to what they already have, which is a collection of impactful pieces, but pretty good work here. And fellas, let's just look here. Let's give props. I mentioned Kent Hughes. Jeff Gorton's fingerprints are all over this because you remember Nick Brobov. I mean, he was with Gortz with the New York Rangers. Marty, you probably remember that. Yeah. And then other teams, you know, that Brobov has been associated with. As much as you got to give credit to management, I think this guy was heavily involved in making sure that the transition and the move from SKA and the Continental Hockey League to the Montreal Canadiens and the National Hockey League has gone to this point as smoothly as it has.
How does that work, though? And I don't know if you have any details, but earlier in the year, they said Demidov will not be able to play a game with the Canadians this season and in or the playoffs. Like it was said early in the year. Then all of a sudden that changed. Now you get Demidov out of Russia. He actually was waiting in Turkey, I believe, for his visa to be open for him to fly to Montreal. Like, how do you get that done in the little time? Because it is complicated, but...
Yep.
Do you need a certain level of, as you mentioned, like experience, expertise?
Oh, yeah.
Does the league get involved in it? Like, do you call the NHL and say, we need help, and the Players Association, we need help? Because that's complicated.
Yeah, and I don't know that they did that. I'd be surprised if they didn't. And I don't know that the request would be, we need help. It would be more to advise that, okay, here's what we're doing. You know, we're about to enter into contract with Demidov through his agent, Dan Milstein. Again, there are some hurdles that have to be explored, experienced, and overcome when you're trying to bring players out of Russia. I mean, you need the work permits and all of that. It is a complex process. But you're right. I mean, the fact that he's in Turkey and probably is en route somewhere from there makes it a little bit easier. But I'll just share a little bit of intel. You know, the news breaks because SKA puts out a press release announcing that Demidov is going to the Montreal Canadiens. When they did that, the contract had not been agreed to yet. And, you know, that gets a little bit dicey, right? Because, you know, are you burning off a year by bringing him in and playing him right now? Or are you, you know, trying to play that game of waiting, you know, and getting him under the full entry-level contract deal? And then, curiously, they did obviously give him the $525,000 bonus if he wins the Conn Smythe this year with the Montreal Canadiens. I think it's pretty safe that Demidov is not going to win the Conn Smythe. But what that does for people who aren't in the know when it comes to contracts like this is it allows them to beef up his bonuses later in the entry-level deal. So he'll get money, more money out at the end of the deal because of that bonus. So, I mean, it's a complex one, but the Canadians were basically told by ownership, we're not talking about this until you see the whites of this guy's eyes, until his boots are on the ground in Canada or in North America. Don't talk to the media about it. So
they are selling jerseys at the Bell Center, Demidov 93. Yeah, so they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, they don't see the white in his eyes, but they see the white in the jersey. That's what happens.
And the green in the dollars. That's what they see.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the green in the Minnesota Wild uniform had a little different hue last night as it received a power surge in the form of Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek. The latter had four goals in his return. The former had the game winner, part of a two-goal, three-point night. And now I ask the question to both of you, who has the better chance of hanging on to the final, what will ultimately be the final playoff spot in the West? Minnesota or now losers of two straight St. Louis, because Calgary still has a chance to catch
They still have a chance.
Greg,
they still have a chance. I think Minnesota is fine. I mean, getting these two guys back, holy smokes. You talk about making mega trades. I mean, people forget that Kaprizov, he missed 28 games. You know, Ek, I think, missed, what, 21?
And when he first started having problems in December, he was in the Hart Trophy conversation.
Absolutely. So now with all that firepower, I think that the Minnesota Wild are going to take off and run here a little bit. I don't have grave concerns with the St. Louis Blues either.
They only have two games left, though. I'm worried.
Yeah, I know. I mean, either way, they're going to be a real tough matchup, you know, for the teams that are lining up here. You know, Winnipeg, you have a heck of a year, and oh boy, you get to play either Minnesota or St. Louis in round one, essentially. I mean, it's going to be
better than Colorado.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, but okay, so Minnesota is at 93, St. Louis at 93. Minnesota has three games, St. Louis has two. Minnesota and Calgary play tomorrow. The Wild can give the St. Louis Blues a huge, huge boost they beat Calgary. Calgary, they blew it last night. They're up 3-1 under 5 minutes to go, and they give up two goals and lose in OT. That was their chance. Now they can max out at 96.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like the tragic number, the magic number is 3 for St. Louis Minnesota, because Calgary has to get to one more point than them.
Right.
So if they get to 95, as soon as they get to 96, boom, Calgary's done. Like it's impossible. So I think they're safe. I think both Minnesota and St. Louis are safe.
Yeah.
I think Calgary blew it last night.
Celebrini's 5-point game, first ever hat trick, notwithstanding, is Lane Hutson taking the Calder?
I think so. I think so. When he first broke onto the scene in Montreal, there was so much to like about that game. But at least I thought, okay, he's going to fizzle. I'm not going to fall off the cliff. Crazy. He's just going to fizzle because it's such a tough position to play. And especially the way he plays, he's just gotten better and better and better. I love Macklin Celebrini, but what Hudson has done, that's Calder winning for me.
Absolutely. Dregs,
who's going to win the Master?
Scotty Scheffler. Okay. Went right out on a limb there, boys.
Yeah, no, that's put all your money on Scotty Scheffler. Bet the farm.
See you next week.
Have a good one.
Darren Dreger from TSN. Sabres Live concludes after this.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.